I listen to the diaries because it sparks ideas for new adventures. Whether it is an episode about an epic adventure or a backyard micro-adventure, I start thinking about my next adventure. I'm inspired by the people and their stories to go a little farther and dig a little deeper. If you want to add more spark to your adventurous ideas, consider subscribing to the Diaries Plus today. I'm Crystal, a longtime listener from the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina.
Thanks to everyone who has subscribed to the Diaries Plus. It's been awesome, and you're powering the show as we move into the future. If you're interested in subscribing today, there's a link in the show notes. Please join. Now, on to the show.
Hey everyone, just a quick note that this episode contains a mention of suicide. Thanks.
Scoot was my dad's nickname. I'm not sure why or where it came from, but I know he had a red, blue, and white woolen hat with Scoot knit into the front. I know that when he started making climbing and hang gliding harnesses for his friends, Scoot was the name he used for his company. From pictures, stories, and a scattering of memories, I know he loved nature and the outdoors. But I don't really know him, because on the 2nd of August, 1993, alone in a field, he took his own life. That day, my mom faced the impossible task of telling three young children that their dad was gone. She told us that he died in a hunting accident. Then, she set about the task of being parent enough for both of them, something she managed with room to spare. I don't know exactly when, but from a young age, I became suspicious that my dad didn't die in an accident. I knew the kind of gun he used. I knew he was a careful gun owner. I knew he was alone. But for nearly 20 years, I didn't talk about it with anyone. That doesn't mean I didn't think about it. I thought about it a lot. But I was also terrified of being right, and terrified of upsetting anyone in my family. I got used to not having a dad and had a wonderful childhood thanks to my mum and siblings and the support of our family. We talked about dad from time to time and had pictures of him around the house. But it seemed like there was a depth of conversation we all avoided, and I could never fully shake the nagging feelings about what happened to him. I could never outrun the questions and rabbit holes they could drag me down. Years later, as an adult studying in Denmark, far away from my family in Scotland, I decided I wanted to know for sure. I ordered a copy of his death certificate, and one day an official-looking envelope showed up in the mailbox. The words I saw didn't surprise me. Cause of death, contact gunshot wound to the head. I then went through a pretty tumultuous period. I was angry, sad, lost, and confused. Every time I went home to see Mom, I'd psych myself up to ask her about what happened, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I didn't want to upset her. I didn't want to make her feel bad for not being able to tell us the truth. I didn't want to seem ungrateful for all the things she'd done for me and our family. Just before my 26th birthday, I moved to America and tried to get on with my life. But holding this all inside wasn't working. In the lonely aftermath of a breakup, I realized that shielding this secret had been part of every relationship I'd ever had. Family, friends, partners. I'd kept them all away from the thing I needed them to understand most. Sitting in my apartment, depressed, isolated, and exhausted, I finally understood how important it was for me to talk about what happened. And when I called my mom back in Scotland from my new home in Seattle, She told me everything. Dad suffered terribly with depression. He felt like a failure, like he was constantly letting people down, even when that couldn't be further from the truth. Despite having a family he loved and choosing gardening over a career that stressed him out, he couldn't shake his demons. Unfortunately, he believed that all he could do was ride his mood right down to the bottom before coming back up. Sadly, on this occasion, he rode it past the point of no return, went out to hunt rabbits, and never came home. As Mom explained this to me, it all made so much sense. I felt relieved that we were no longer alone with our secrets. I also recognized the feelings she described. Thankfully, I'd never felt them as potently as Dad did, but I knew the non-specific but real feeling of letting people down, of feeling like a bad person, feeling sad and numbed and scared of the world. After years of wondering who Dad was and why he'd chosen to leave us, I felt the sad but very real thing we had in common. By learning how Dad died, I felt a deeper connection to him in a messed up kind of way. I also knew I didn't want to end up like him. I didn't want to be miserable. I didn't want to try to ride things out and refuse help. I no longer wanted to be an expert in avoiding deep relationships and conversations about Dad's just in case I had to talk about mine. I started going to therapy. Over the next few years, I became much more open about what happened. I discovered that sharing my story of losing Dad brought people closer rather than pushing them away. We finally talked about it as a family and opened up the dark room that had been jammed shut for so long. Not long before the 25th anniversary of that dreadful day, I visited Patagonia in Argentina. On a cold and stunning morning, I went out on a hike. I watched the wind sweep clouds to meet the reflection in the lake in front of me. And hearing the slow crunch of snow beneath my feet, I felt like the only person on earth. Surrounded by epic nature, I had a sudden and overwhelming realization. Dad would have loved this. It made me so happy, so grateful to think of him in his element, to imagine him looking around in awe the same way I was now. I bet he would know what kind of bird just swooped by. From that moment on, I could see Dad through a different lens. When I look back at my memories or talk to people who knew him, I saw more of the thoughtful, adventurous, creative man I'd only caught glimpses of as a kid. As a teenager, Scoot would hitchhike in the north of Scotland just to sleep in the mountains. As he got older, he'd make gear and equipment with his own hands if he or a friend couldn't find it. He loved to spend time under or in the sky, climbing, hang gliding, camping, and skiing. He adored nature with all his being. Since that day in Argentina, I've spent more time outside, surfing, camping, running, swimming, and it always makes me feel more grounded, more grateful, more alive. Exploring this shared passion decades apart gives me a cherished window into who Dad was when he was on good terms with the universe. More importantly, it reminds me to keep finding ways I can experience my own existence in vivid and fulfilling ways. I might not be able to get to know Alistair David Watt Fraser or what it's like to have him as a dad, but I'm sure I get to know Scoot a little bit more every time I jump into my camper van and hit the road to feel a fresh, cold Pacific Northwest wave crash over my head. after decades of wondering why he's gone, I'm beginning to understand why Dad was here. And ready to keep exploring why I am, too. My name is Ewan Fraser, and this is my short.
Ewan, thank you so much for sharing your story. If you or someone you know needs help, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. Our stories come from friends of friends, and from you, our community. If you have a compelling idea for a guest or a story lead, give us a shout. You can find the submission form on our website, dirtbagdiaries.com. Music today is from Kai Engel and Brendan O'Connell. The tracks are courtesy of the artists or Free Music Archive. Jacob Bain and Nice Koto composed our theme song. You can find links to the artists at our website. This episode was produced by me, Cordelia Zars, with additional production help from Ashley Langholtz and Becca Cahal. Artwork by Anya Miller. Becca Cahal is our executive producer. Fitz Cahal is our creative director. I'm Cordelia Zars. Thanks for tuning in.
Support comes from Kuat Racks. Their Ibex overlanding truck bed rack is made to handle substantial loads both on and off the grid. You can go anywhere with it. Seriously, constructed from lightweight yet durable aluminum, the black powder coat is made for all the nature you can throw at it. Available in 7 different frame sizes to accommodate most truck models, the Ibex is engineered for adventure with versatile full and half height configurations. For more details and to visualize your Ibex configuration, you should do this. It's super cool. It's a neat augmented reality program. Check it out. See what it would look like on your truck. It works super well. Visit kuat.com, Kuat, because you will absolutely love this overlanding truck bed rack.